Leftover Salmon is now right up on the precipice of 30 years as a band. There's a celebration going on, continuation of their regular event, only now it's called Boogie at the Broadmoor. There's also a new book, which we'll talk about in a subsequent episode, by Tim Newby. It's called Leftover Salmon, 30 Years of Festival. Today's guest in the second hour is Andy Thorne, banjo player and member of Leftover Salmon. We'll talk about the book, about Andy's entrance into the band, and the band itself. Just amazing to me, 30 years of Leftover Salmon. Andy Thorne, Leftover Salmon. I'm really happy to welcome to Unreal Bluegrass Andy Thorne of Leftover Salmon. How are you doing, Andy?
I'm doing great. Just looking out at the sunset here in Boulder, Colorado.
Boulder, Colorado. Right before we went on the air, we talked about Boulder. And I do think, Andy, that Leftover Salmon, of all the... First of all, I was stunned. I got this book, Leftover Salmon, 30 Years of Festival by Tim Newby. And I'm going to talk to Tim in a couple weeks, I think. But... I was surprised because I've been a fan of Leftover Salmon since way, way back. And I thought, geez, can it be that long? I know there's configurations of music that lead to Leftover Salmon. But then I think, well, there you are in Boulder. Then I think of all the music that comes out of Boulder. And I come back to one of the fountainheads being Leftover Salmon for that whole sound, which I think is a distinct and I'll say progressive sound. But I think Leftover Salmon is right there at the very tippy top.
Absolutely. Somehow, like, the vibe just allowed bands to experiment back then, I think. So it was like, hey, we'll add drums to this bluegrass band.
Yeah.
People dug it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. You joined the band when?
I joined the band in about 2010, I believe. And I joined the Emmett Nursey band with Drew around 2008, so we were already becoming really good friends. And I've actually just been seeing the band since I was a teenager out in North Carolina. I used to go to Merlefest every year. And the first year I went, they were one of the bands that just left a huge impression on me. And so I followed them all through high school and college a little bit until I started doing my own bands, you know.
And I will say this too, Andy. The albums are great. But I think if you really want to get the full Leftover Salmon, you need to see them live. You need to experience that live. Because that's where the magic happens, I think. And
For sure.
I love the band, and Emmett. I have Drew Emmett when he went off on his own, did some Manlin stuff. You know, I have those things also in my library. But I do think Leftover Salmon Live is just about as tight and as expandable as you want to get.
Right. I mean, we're, like, experimenting more now than ever, probably. I have a banjo tune that's, like, 15 or 20 minutes long now. So I never thought that would happen, that's for sure.
I've seen different pictures, current pictures on the website, the Leftover Salmon website. It looks like you have, I can't tell what you're playing banjo-wise. One of them has a lot of knobs on it, but I can't tell what it is.
Well, I play a Gibson RB75 that I won at Rocky Grass in 2003 for my main acoustic. And then I play an electric banjo that is really unique, and it's custom made by this guy named Ian Davidson out in Arcata, California. It's almost like a hollow body acoustic electric banjo.
Okay. The book, by the way, this was fun for me, as I mentioned as we were getting started. There is a book, I think the release date of the book is February 16th, but written by Tim Newby. It's a really nice account of Leftover Salmon and 30 Years of Festival. Again, blows my mind. You have a chapter. It's almost kind of like all the people that come through the band to a lesser degree, because Art Blakey's been at it longer and had been at it longer. But it's kind of like the Jazz Messengers. All these people come through and they do other things, and all these great people come through, and some stick and some, you know,
right.
Gnome goes somewhere else. Chris goes, Pandolfi goes somewhere else. And there's a chapter about you and a chapter all these things. But in the preface, I saw this name three times, and I thought, now it kind of makes sense to me. The name that I saw at least three times in the preface from the book was Bruce Hampton.
Ah.
And I thought, okay, now I can back up and from a higher view see some of the influences going throughout the band. Colonel Bruce Hampton and, well, I just changed the names, but the Aquarium Rescue Unit was the band that I was familiar with back in the day.
Absolutely.
And
Leftover and Aquarium Rescue Unit did a tour in the 90s where they swapped nights of who was headlining, and I guess they all played together and all this stuff. So that's where they really became friends with Colonel Bruce and all those guys.
and all those guys. You talk all those guys. Everybody's been through that band at some point.
Well, Jeff Seip joined Salmon after that. So
yeah. Derek Trucks played a long time with Bruce, I believe.
Right.
Yeah. So
trained a lot of people.
Yeah. So that's the point of it is, and the influence is. You go there and stay for a while, and you know, that's not the only thing that informed Leftover Salmon, but when I saw that name, I had a different perspective of what was maybe going on. I didn't know that they toured together.
Yeah, they did a tour together, and that'd be I don't know if that's in the book or not, because I haven't read it yet. I can't wait to get one this weekend.
I've scanned it pretty much. I have kind of a draft copy, and I have a hard copy coming in. Well, I'll talk to Tim about that later,
right.
Tim Newby.
I bet that's mentioned.
What a tour. What a tour for the fans, yep. And for the people. So a couple things we wanted to talk about with Andy is touch on a little bit about the band Leftover Salmon. And I know you're a more recent member, but the whole Boulder scene, I think Leftover Salmon has impressed. And when we talk about Chris Pandolfi, having come from there, and Infamous String Dusters, I'm not saying it's a direct connection, but all the music that's come out of what is this incredible musical enterprise called Leftover Salmon. It's just it's kind of pervasive, I think.
Yeah, it's been so fun to see like all the other bands that have spun off from the original bluegrass jam band movement of the Leftover Salmons and String Cheese Incident, then Yonder,
yep.
Then the String Dusters and Green Sky, and I even had a band in 2003 with Travis Book and Anders Beck for 2 or 3 years, and those guys went off and started Green Sky and the String Dusters. So now we're all just sort of here playing all these festivals together. And it's really cool to watch what everybody's doing.
The I don't know if I mentioned this on the air, but I think right before we got started, I read enough about you. You have a degree in jazz guitar. Now that to me says a lot about the interest in Leftover Salmon. So and how does that... And you mentioned how you knew people in North Carolina and you had different bands and whatnot, but here's a guy who went to college and got a music degree in jazz guitar, and now you're playing with this very expansive, I don't even know what bluegrass is anymore. I don't like to get into those discussion about what is
right.
or isn't, but so you bring a whole nother a bit of, you have to listen to jazz to want to have a jazz guitar degree. So how does that fit into what the band, and how does that... There has to be a lot of flexibility.
I'm not a very good jazz musician, first of all. But
You got a degree in it, so you're a cut above a lot of people. So don't run yourself.
I went to UNC Chapel Hill and grew up in Durham. I wanted to major in banjo because I had already kind of realized that I stood a better chance of doing banjo, just because there's not everybody doesn't play banjo. Back then, less people played it seemed like to me, but they didn't have a banjo major yet. So I had already done jazz guitar all through high school in the jazz band, so I was like, oh, I can do this, and I was really interested in it. And it was so cool to just be around all the amazing kids that were on scholarship and all the guest artists they would bring in for this stuff. And I did manage to get a jazz guitar degree somehow.
Well, who did you listen to that make you want to be a jazz guitarist?
I think I really liked John Scofield. He was really big back then.
Yeah.
And Pat Metheny. Just like the acid jazz scene, sort of jam band jazz and stuff. Less of the hard bop, because that was so out of my talent level that I could never play that stuff.
Wait,
I loved listening to it. But.
All right, but you don't want to suggest for a minute that Pat Metheny is attainable by normal mortals. By mortals.
No, not at all. But, you know, listening to, like, Charlie Parker and Gillespie, that stuff is so far beyond what I could ever hope to play.
I know.
Not that I could ever play Pat Metheny guitar style.
No human being could.
It was familiar enough to sort of grasp a little bit
and
get into that stuff. But I was always playing banjo in a band that I had all through college called the Big Fat Gap. And that was sort of where my heart was the whole time. So I've just done that and have not gone back to guitar since, really. I still play it all the time, but...
Did you have how did you matriculate, let's use that word, into Leftover Salmon? We kind of skipped over that real quickly. I know there were relationships, and you knew people, and they knew people, and somehow you wound your way in. And we haven't even talked about Mark. the original banjo player, probably we'll talk to Tim Newby more about that on the origin of the band. But how'd you wind up into this band?
I really credit Chris Pandolfi with hooking me up with Drew Emmett all those years ago, because he had played with Drew on and off for years, and he was forming the String Dusters, and they were about to go full-time. So he recommended me to Drew for the Emmett Nursey Band. And I guess his recommendation meant so much that they just hired me. Chris said, hey, you need to hire this guy. And they were like, okay, we trust Chris. So I still really owe Chris for that. And about 2 years into that band, Leftover Salmon wanted to come back and do more gigs. So it was kind of an easy fit for me to come join that, since I was already with Drew and we had the same schedule. And I've been there ever since, and it's been great.
You know, I did not realize there was that much of a gap when the band sort of, you know, existed in idea form but wasn't really playing. Because when I saw the book, and I thought, wait a minute, 30 years, 25 years? I don't have that many CDs, and I would have. So there was a gap. What was the gap related to?
It was like a 7-year gap, I believe. It was, you know, the Mark Vann died, I think, in 2001 or 2, and they had a great banjo player, Noam Pokelny, for a few years, but I think emotionally they really weren't ready to go on without Mark, and it took its toll on the guys, because Mark did a lot of the business and a lot of the management side, and so they probably tried to go back too soon, and they ended up just having to take a break.
Okay.
And they all did their side projects, you know?
Yeah. I never knew the story behind that, and I'm learning it, and I will learn more as I get further into the book, which will be available, by the way, at Boogie at the Broadmoor. One of the things we want to talk about is a big event coming up, I think, March 22nd through the 24th in Colorado Springs. Tell us about that a little bit.
Yeah, we're really excited about that. One of our most iconic events became this thing at the Stanley Hotel, and it was usually that weekend, but this year the Stanley was doing, they sort of followed our model, and they were like, oh, we're going to throw a million other festivals at the Stanley too. So we found somewhere new to do it, and we found somewhere that's just way cooler. And it's this 5-star resort down in Colorado Springs. I think it's been there over 100 years.
Yeah, it has that look.
It's got all this history, and like, I guess Al Capone used to hang out there, and it's one of the, there's like a crazy whiskey museum and all this stuff. And these hotel festivals are so fun in the wintertime in Colorado, because it gives us a little break from doing our outdoor lifestyles, and you get to go hang out in a hotel. And that leads to everybody sort of being in a tighter zone. And so you end up hanging out together a lot and doing a lot of jamming, and it's ended up being really fun.
The list, I don't have the list of the bands that are going up here so far.
We have the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. We have Lucas Nelson and Promise the Real. And we have a String Dusters side project, the Bluegrass Generals, and they're going to have Sam Bush in the band. And Sam's also going to be a special guest on the whole weekend jamming with us. So it's going to be pretty killer.
It sounds, and I've looked at the whole list. I don't have it, but I would say this from the bands that I've seen, that you are... Leftover Salmon is continuing to book, of course, Sam Bush and side project of the String Dusters and Nitty Gritty. They're not brand new, but it sounds like it looks to me, as I look at the names, some of them which are not familiar to me, that you are lifting up, let's say, rising. You know, if you lift the level of the water, all the boats rise up. So it looks like Leftover Salmon is intentionally bringing in bands that, like, I wouldn't know, and I know kind of pretty much about some bluegrass and acoustic music, but it looks like you're bringing in bands that you think should be exposed more and that the audiences will enjoy, and that you're, I don't know if you're, I'm not going to say you're paid.
For sure.
Yeah, is that,
there's
that,
so many, like, young, amazing bands coming up in Colorado right now, and they're all our friends, or some of them are, like, these young kids that we've seen at our shows for the last 8 years, and now they have an awesome band. So it's really fun to get these people involved with our scene. And it keeps, you know, hopefully it keeps young people coming out to our shows, too, that maybe didn't know us before.
Let me ask you this about your audience, then. Now that we have this 25, 30 years of Leftover Salmon, are the attendees, are they going to be on the younger side? Are they going to be what a jam band? And that term gets used so much. And I think it denigrates the talent, too. I also think that jam band is my personal thing. Jam band, I think, kind of lets people believe that it's just sort of like this disorganized, yeah, you're a band on stage, but you guys are incredibly talented. And like you mentioned before, you might have a 15-minute banjo solo. It's not just like playing notes to fill space. I got to believe that everything that you're doing. So let's kill that term. So, but do you think that the audience that comes to see you and let's say something like Boogie at the Broadmoor, are they younger? Is it a mixed age or what?
It really is a mixed age with this band. The two leaders of the band are in their late 50s, so there's tons of people in that age group. And even older, we've had Bill Payne on piano in our band for years, so there's all these Little Feet fans who might be 70, you know? And then our drummer is 29, and I'm 35, and we have a lot of friends and fans that are in their 20s. And then there's all these young hippie kids in Colorado that just love different jam band music. So the age range is just crazy wide.
So everybody
is everywhere.
Yeah, every age.
It's all types of people.
Yeah, if you just tuned in, I'm talking to Andy Thorne, Leftover Salmon, and we're talking about a couple of things. So everybody would be welcome at this event. All age groups would be welcome and feel comfortable there.
We have doctors and lawyers and all sorts of people come, and then we have kids that work in dispensaries and marijuana grows. Every type of person is welcome there. Everybody gets along now, which is really cool.
That's worth going there just for that alone, just to be someplace where you can get along right now.
Absolutely.
You know, and the music does that, and the crowd does that. Boogie at the Broadmoor, there's a website, the Leftover Salmon website, which is easy enough to find, will take people to the event we're discussing, Boogie at the Broadmoor, I believe. I think that's how I found it, right?
Yep.
Yeah, there's a link.
There's tons of info on the website, and that's the best place to look.
And I might correct also, Andy, that at this event, this book we've been discussing, the Leftover Salmon 30 Years of Festival by Tim Newby, that will be there in hard print.
Oh, yeah. That'll be everywhere we are for the next few months, I'm sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a neat story. I mean, it's a great band, and I really do. Let me ask you this, then, and I'll let you get out of here, Andy. I appreciate your time. Help me with the struggle I've always had, and I guess I live my entire life. I've been west, but as far as living in residence east of the Mississippi, what happens at the Continental Divide when you get to Colorado? Then you go to California, and the music, it's bluegrass. It's bluegrass-based. And derived from bluegrass, but it's totally different. And what happens when you get to Colorado?
I don't know exactly why Colorado has had such a big bluegrass scene.
And Boulder, and Telluride and all that stuff. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, part of it is the festivals that were happening here. Telluride Bluegrass and the Rocky Mountain, or Rocky Grass. I can't remember what it was called originally. But, what is the story? Newgrass Revival went out there to play, and Sam Bush has now played 30 Telluride.
He's
or
the
more,
king.
I'm not
he's,
sure.
He's the king of Telluride.
He's the king of Telluride. And, so, like, and having these iconic festivals in the state has supported this scene through all the years, and it's just continued to bring in the most progressive pickers somehow. But even great traditional stuff, too, like Hot Rise.
Yeah.
Hot Rise is the band that Drew and Vince really credit with influencing them.
I saw that.
In Boulder.
Yeah. And Newgrass. But Newgrass.
And Newgrass,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, right.
I don't think Newgrass was living in Boulder.
No, I don't think that.
Hot Rise was living in Boulder and Gold Hill and stuff. So,
right.
Yeah, they really had the scene going for a while.
The funny thing about Telluride, this last Telluride Festival, I didn't go there. I can't go there that often, if ever. I will. There was film of Bela and Sam and Christian McBride on stage.
Oh, cool.
Greatest bass player, I think, living, walking. And
right.
So I set up on the sites of thinking, well, wait a minute. I've done with Bela and Bill Keith and, half a dozen different players. Let's take bluegrass and why do you play jazz? Alan Mundy gets into jazz. So I thought I'm going to get a jazz player and ask him what in the world he was doing on stage. This is just the expansive nature, I guess, of bluegrass I'm talking about
right
out there. And so I had Christian McBride on Real Bluegrass, and it's there on the website to hear it.
Wow!
So
I'd love to hear that.
Well, you can go find it. So I was thrilled, man, because he's the top dog right now in my mind.
He's the top dog.
And I said, Christian, I got to ask you. We talked about his new album, which is coming out. I said, I got to ask you, man, what were you doing out there on stage with Sam and Bela, and there was another somebody else I forget playing. He was playing bluegrass. He said, my idol. And Phil, his mentor, I don't say idol, but his mentor, like his second father in Philadelphia, was Ray Brown.
Oh, neat.
So, and Ray Brown said to him once, and this I almost fell over because I didn't know the answer. Ray Brown said, if you really want to learn, get in that pocket as a bass player, go listen to the Stanley Brothers.
Wow. No way.
That's what he said. So
That is pretty wild.
It is wild. So Telluride being part of the scene and you guys and Leftover Salmon being part of that scene, the music pulls in all types of talent and all sorts of interest.
Right. And just Telluride brings such a diverse lineup.
Oh, it's so expanding.
You'll see crazy stuff.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
Yeah. And so Leftover Salmon, I think, is as big a pool. I don't even say second generation. I guess you could say second generation if you're talking back to the vintage of Newgrass, but certainly early second generation Leftover Salmon has done that, has drawn that music to that area and brought it into
newer
like bands.
Hot Rise and Newgrass started pulling the bluegrass musicians to Colorado, and then the Leftover Salmons and the String Cheese Incidents, they continue to bring like the people from my generation, you know, growing up as a bluegrass kid in North Carolina, seeing the kind of scene in Colorado. I was always wanting to move out there because there's the freedom and the mountains and everything.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
That it brings.
What's a perfect fit, man? Listen, I wish you the best. I don't think I'll be able to come to Colorado by the end of March, but it's March 22nd through the 24th, which is the Boogie at Broadmoor. We've talked a lot about it and the place that it's going to have and music and all the people that'll be there and all the neat stuff going on and the fact that there'll be this brand new book.
It's going to be a blast.
It's going to be great. You mentioned that you may have a solo project coming out? Andy?
I have a solo project coming out in, I think, May. When you do everything yourself, you don't really know what you're doing. But it's really cool because it's got members of Mandolin Orange and John Stickley and the fiddle player from Town Mountain, Bobby Britt.
Yep.
And some guys from Big Fat Gap. We all grew up playing together in Chapel Hill, so we got to record last year, and I'm finally putting it out this year, so that'll be fun.
You'll have to let me know when that happens, and we'll revisit again and go through some more about Andy Thorne. And by then, I will have talked to the guy who wrote the book about Leftover Sam, and I'm looking forward to that. So
very cool.
I'm going to let you get back to your business, Andy. Thanks so much, Andy
Steve.
Thorne, Leftover Sam, and I enjoyed it.
Great to talk to you.
Yeah, man. We'll catch up somewhere down the road.
Sounds good.
All right. See you. Bye.
Thank you.